Planes powered by GE Aerospace Technology take off every 2 seconds, and nearly 3 billion people flew last year with our technology under wing. As a new independently traded company on the New York Stock Exchange, our purpose remains: invent the future of flight, lift people up, and bring them home safely.
An FDA panel says it's not recommending booster shots for all Americans who could still be eligible. Plus, what the Wall Street Journal's extensive investigation into Facebook says about the social network and its leadership.
Facebook and Mark Zuckerberg himself sees the platform as a tool for good in the world and fundamentally a positive influence. And often that blinds them to these problems and causes them to either ignore them or belatedly try to address them when the problems have already gotten well established.
We'll have more key takeaways from our global tech editor, Jason Dean. It's Friday, September 17th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. An FDA advisory panel has endorsed Pfizer and BioNTech's COVID-19 vaccine boosters for people 65 and older and those at high risk of severe COVID-19. But the panel rejected boosters after 6 months for the general population of vaccinated people 16 and older. The decision follows a day-long meeting with intense debate over who should get boosters and when. The panel considered data from Pfizer and BioNTech about declining vaccine effectiveness over time and the benefit of additional shots. The FDA is not required to accept decisions by the panel, which is made up of around 20 scientific advisors, but it generally does. Earlier this week, the FDA said that the COVID-19 vaccines already cleared in the U.S. provide sufficient protection against severe disease and death without an extra shot. But today's decision brings the Biden administration a step closer to its plan to begin distributing boosters next month to help bolster immunity against the highly transmissible Delta variant. France has recalled its ambassadors to both the U.S. and Australia, escalating its response to a new deal in which the U.S. and the U.K. would provide nuclear-powered submarine technology to Australia. As part of the deal, Australia said it would cancel a multi-billion-dollar contract to buy subs from France. The French minister said the announcement was, quote, unacceptable behavior between allies and partners, end quote, and that it's recalled its ministers for consultations. The diplomatic move is extraordinarily rare among allies, and France is one of the U.S.'s closest and oldest. The State Department did not immediately respond to a request for comment. In a major reversal, the U.S. military admitted today that it mistakenly killed 10 Afghan civilians, including 7 children, in a drone strike targeting a car in Kabul last month. The military said it missed its actual target, militants who were thought to have a car bomb to be used in an attack on the city's airport. Just days ago, military officials said they believed the strike was justified. They had said civilians may have been mistakenly killed, but that the Islamic militants had been hit. Today, the Pentagon said the militants they were targeting were not in the car. Hackers have been using digital currency to profit from ransomware attacks. Now we report exclusively that the Biden administration plans to impose sanctions and other measures to make it harder for hackers to do that. According to people familiar with the matter, the sanctions are expected to single out individuals rather than the entire cryptocurrency infrastructure. This would be the strongest attempt by the Biden administration to undercut the digital finance ecosystem that has benefited from ransomware attacks aimed at businesses and critical infrastructure, and even threatened national security. Enforcement efforts have been focused on Russia, which analysts indicate is a major source of ransomware attacks. After a number of ups and downs, major indexes ended this week slightly lower. The S&P 500 and the Nasdaq each fell nearly 1%, and the Dow was down 0.5%. Meanwhile, bond yields were up. The fluctuation shows that investors are grappling with a slew of mixed economic data in the U.S. and China over concerns of inflation and the Delta variant. Investors are also starting to position themselves ahead of next week's Federal Reserve policy meeting, waiting to see whether the Fed will throttle its bond buying. Economists say they don't expect to see any announcements given the tenuous state of the economy. Global supply chain challenges are being compounded by COVID-19 lockdowns in Southeast Asia. In Vietnam, lockdowns have delayed the processing and exporting of coffee beans. And in Malaysia, the world's second largest producer of palm oil, migrant laborers haven't been able to travel to plantations. That's raising the price of the oil, which is used to make candy bars, shampoo, and biofuel. COVID-19 disruptions at a smelter in Malaysia have also sent the price of tin higher. Prices for coffee, palm oil, and tin have all risen to multi-year highs in recent months. Coming up, what we've learned from digging through the Facebook files.
Planes powered by GE Aerospace technology take off every 2 seconds, and nearly 3 billion people flew last year with our technology under wing. By empowering the brightest minds, GE Aerospace is reimagining engine design and advanced aircraft systems, developing hybrid electric engines and technologies compatible with alternative fuels like sustainable aviation fuel. GE Aerospace strives every day to invent the future of flight, lift people up, and bring them home safely.
All this week, we've been reporting on some key takeaways from our investigative series, The Facebook Files. The Wall Street Journal reviewed a trove of internal Facebook documents, including research reports, online employee discussions, and drafts of presentations to senior management. We've told you about an elite group that's been made exempt from Facebook's rules of conduct, the company's research on the harmful effects of Instagram, particularly for teen girls, and how the social network has been used for nefarious purposes, especially in the developing world, including by drug cartels and human traffickers. The investigation shows the company knew about many of these flaws, and in many cases did little or nothing to fix them, at times ignoring internal warnings from employees. The final installment of the series, out today, focuses on the proliferation of anti-vaccination rhetoric on the platform, despite CEO Mark Zuckerberg's goals to promote COVID-19 vaccines. Joining me now to talk more about the final installment of the Facebook Files and what the series tells us about the challenges at the company is Wall Street Journal Global Technology Editor Jason Dean. Hi, Jason. Thanks so much for being here.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So, Jason, I know this has been a whirlwind week for the tech team. Before we get into the details of this series, can you tell us a bit more about how this came to be and how much of the newsroom was ultimately involved here?
It really was born out of great beat reporting by Jeff Horwitz, who's the lead reporter on the series, who covers Facebook for us and, you know, has really come to understand the company and how it works and how it doesn't work. And that work that he's done on Facebook in the past led to getting the ability to review this array of internal documents that has no real precedent in its scope and its depth. And from there, we added reporters. My colleague Brad Reagan sort of spearheaded this effort, did a great job coordinating. We had people all around the newsroom on our podcast team and the visuals team and colleagues from other bureaus, editors. It was a tremendous team effort.
So let's talk about today's installment, the last in the series. This is about Facebook's inability to stop vaccine disinformation spreading on the platform. Now, CEO Mark Zuckerberg has made efforts to promote COVID-19 vaccinations, but the investigation shows that this kind of anti-vax information is still rampant on the platform. What's causing the disconnect there for Facebook?
It is an extraordinary picture of a company that had every reason to anticipate the problems that arose with misinformation about vaccines on the platform and didn't. And so has been playing catch up at the same time that Mark Zuckerberg, who, you know, created this company and is its CEO, took a position, which he doesn't normally do on controversial issues, that he wanted Facebook to promote vaccines for COVID-19, the platform itself was being deluged with anti-vax comments by anti-vax activists who were trying to subvert that effort. And the documents and the story that we have today really give an inside view of the teams inside Facebook scrambling to try to deal with this problem as it's happening. And as the CEO is touting efforts publicly, they were taking to try to promote the vaccine.
Now, this is just one of the topics you covered in a series that also delved into Instagram and teen health, the divisiveness and conversations on Facebook, and even criminal activity. A lot of these topics and concerns have been in the discourse already in some form. How does what we learned this week and through this investigation shed new light on those debates?
You're right. This is a company that's had at least its fair share of scandals and exposés in the past. But at the core of this series is an array of documents that just has no precedent in the coverage of Facebook, or really little precedent in the coverage of other companies. We see through these documents inside the core of the machine, the inner workings, in a way that no one outside the company has ever really seen. And the people who are involved in the conversations and writing the documents and commenting on them internally, they have access to information about how Facebook works that none of us have. And they're discussing problems candidly. They're often very earnestly trying to see and fix the problems. Many of the documents were written by people on the integrity team at Facebook, which is trying to address the problems on the platform. And often we see that they're not being listened to. Their efforts to try to ring the alarm are being given short shrift or even ignored. Other cases, we see efforts belatedly to try to catch up to the problem. But in its totality, it's really a picture inside this very much scrutinized company that no one's ever seen before who doesn't work there.
What did this investigation show us about Mark Zuckerberg's role as CEO in all of these cases?
Very few companies today, certainly of this size and importance, are as integrally intertwined with one person as Facebook is with Mark Zuckerberg. It is his baby, and he continues to exercise, if not absolute control, then, you know, something approximating that. So, you know, at a basic level, I mean, he's present in all of the angles of this and aspects of this series and the issues that we're talking about. I think fundamentally you see a consistent issue where Facebook and Mark Zuckerberg himself sees the platform as a tool for good in the world and fundamentally a positive influence. And often that blinds them to these problems and causes them to either ignore them or belatedly try to address them when the problems have already gotten well established. You also see, you know, that the problems are very complicated and, you know, that ultimately is their own creation. This is a platform that is incredibly influential, that Mark Zuckerberg designed to be so, and is also just rife with conflict and difficulty.
So how has Facebook responded to all of this?
I'd say overall, they have acknowledged the accuracy of the information, but also in some cases, they've said that it's an incomplete picture or that we're not paying enough attention to the remedies that they've brought about. Fundamentally, they are also trying to say, hey, look, this shows we have all these people who are looking at our problems and, you know, give us some credit for that.
This investigation comes at a time when big tech is under extreme scrutiny by lawmakers, not only in the U.S., but also abroad. What kind of response have you seen so far to this reporting?
The response has been pretty extraordinary. I think, as you say, many people are already looking at this company and pretty well educated on what was out there already about how it works and what the shortcomings are. And even those people, and maybe especially those people in Congress, in the U.S. and beyond, have found the reporting to be really revelatory. Multiple members of U.S. Congress saying that they are planning to ask more questions of Mr. Zuckerberg, to hold additional hearings and launching an investigation into, in particular, the question of how they handle the Instagram platform's influence on teenage girls.
Bigger question, Jason, and you have talked about this. Facebook has evolved from an inclusive college platform on social media at Harvard to a huge global force that's grappling with major societal issues now. Is this the role that Facebook wants to play? How does the company view itself and its responsibilities?
It's a really interesting question. I mean, certainly, I don't think Mark Zuckerberg 17 years ago had any inkling that Facebook would be what it is today. And it would have been really hard to predict that. I mean, it is used by an enormous share of the world's humans. And, you know, Facebook points out that when you have that many people on the platform, you're going to have a lot of society's ills and complications reflected on the platform. And that's a fair point. At the same time, this is a company that has made enormous, enormous amounts of money profiting off of the advertising that it sells against all of this content. And so many people think that that means they have a responsibility to ensure, more than they have, that what's on there is safe and consistent with the ideals that Mark Zuckerberg and the company set out for themselves. I mean, he espouses Facebook still as a force for good because it brings people together. And what this series really shows in cold light is that it's often not.
That's Wall Street Journal global technology editor Jason Dean. Jason, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
You can read and hear more on the series at WSJ The Facebook Files. And that's what's news for this week. Our hosts are me, Anne-Marie Fertoli, and Mark Stewart. The show was produced by Trine Nuri and Sam Westren, with help from Anthony Banzi, Julie Chang, Zoe Thomas, and J.R. Whalen, and editorial support from Paolo Bossanin, Jenny Ang, Chris Sinsley, and Kateri Yoakum. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. We'll be back on Monday morning. Thanks for listening.
Planes powered by GE Aerospace Technology take off every 2 seconds, and nearly 3 billion people flew last year with our technology under wing. As a new independently traded company on the New York Stock Exchange, our purpose remains: invent the future of flight, lift people up, and bring them home safely.